This is the TTY Dialer, show number 6 for the week of November 28th through December 3rd. Hi, I'm Mark LeVonier, and this is your weekly companion to WRVO's old-time radio show tuned to yesterday. Every night of the week on the air, you can hear Golden Age of Radio comedy, drama, mystery, crime, and much more, and whenever you like at WRVO.org. This podcast weaves what's coming up for the week and a bit of radio history and fun with sound from radio's yesteryear. The best time to listen to this podcast is on Sundays, so you can get ready for the week of old-time radio. And I'll be talking about the schedule coming up in just a few moments.
Meanwhile, you can grab a seat aboard the one and only talking train. Here we go. All aboard.
Fight headache three ways.
Yes, that's the right track to quick, effective relief from common sick headache. Bromo Seltzer. You see, Bromo Seltzer fights headache not one, but three ways.
Bromo Seltzer quickly helps relieve that pain in your head.
Bromo Seltzer quickly helps settle upset stomach.
Bromo Seltzer quickly helps calm jumpy nerves.
Now, you can take Bromo Seltzer while it's fizzing or after it settles down. Use it only as directed on the label. For frequent or persistent headaches, see your doctor. But when it comes to common sick headaches, take a tip from our educated train.
Fight headache three ways.
And that was the sponsor for the mystery show, The Adventures of Ellery Queen, and another mystery program, Inner Sanctum Mysteries, which was more of a horror and often a slasher show. Bromo Seltzer and their commercials helped to create the atmosphere of that program with a strange and even kind of unsettling voice of that train, repeating the company's name. And this was actually produced by a very interesting machine called the Sonovox. It was invented by Gilbert Wright in 1939 when he was shaving one morning. He was using an electric razor, and as it pushed against his throat, he noticed when he moved his mouth around and formed words, it would kind of produce that electric-sounding voice. And he was an engineer, so he decided to tinker with this idea. And after he invented the Sonovox, it almost instantly became this audible oddity of advertising and even movies. It sort of looked like someone holding up two electric razors to their throat when it was in use, go figure. And how it worked was there was two speakers implanted in these two paddles, and sound would be transmitted through the speakers that were close to the paddles, let's say like an instrument, like a saxophone or a trumpet. And after the sound was pushed into a person's larynx, it would come out of their mouths after they were forming the words or whispering them into a microphone for further amplification, which would give it that unearthly sound. As early as 1940, bandleader and educator Kay Kaiser, who also had a popular radio show called Kay Kaiser's College of Musical Knowledge, brought it to the screen in the movie You'll Find Out.
Tonight we present a new miracle of electricity, the Sonovox. Harry Babbitt, using special Sonovox units, gives diction to the tones of the instruments as they play. Harry forms the words, but the instruments sing them. Sing it, Saxes!
I'd know you anywhere, I'd know that grin. I'd know you anywhere when you walked in.
The next year, in 1941, it was used again on screen in Walt Disney's Dumbo for the voice of a talking train, and several films after that, and at times on radio, like in this episode of The Author's Playhouse.
Mr. Cornell, this is Casey. Casey, I want you to meet our president, Frank Cornell.
Howdy, Mr. Cornell. Come aboard.
What? Oh, thank you.
Step right up.
But really, the Sonovox is most familiar and famous for its use in the Bromo Seltzer ads, particularly on Inner Sanctum Mysteries.
Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer.
On this Monday night show on Tune to Yesterday at 10 o'clock, it's sitcoms for an hour with the Mel Blanc Show and A Day in the Life of Dennis Day from 1947. Then it's drama for an hour from On Stage from 1953 and a disturbing story on suspense called Celebration from 1957.
Those are the bullets I found in the car, Todd. The very same ones. Is the box half full?
Yeah, about half full. 38 caliber soft-nosed cartridges, says on the box.
Well, I bet I know. I let Ernie take the
target. Ernie?
Yes. He's gone in for target practice.
Ernie, who's he?
Why, he's...
Maybe he got them for you.
Yeah, I figured they were yours. Looked like they'd just been dropped beside your car up there.
Well, thanks. Come on, Emily. If dinner at Giorgio's will make you happy, then it's dinner at Giorgio's.
This Tuesday night at 10 o'clock, it's Science Fiction with Exploring Tomorrow and a Kurt Vonnegut story on Dimension X. At 11 o'clock Tuesday night, it's Suspense with The Wreck of the Maid of Athens from 1953. Then Escape brings us the story Night of the Guns. You can hear all of these shows Monday, November 28th and Tuesday, November 29th from 10 to midnight on the air on Tune to Yesterday. So when I was talking about the Sonovox, I had mentioned the show Inner Sanctum Mysteries, and it was the creaking door sound that opened up that show in more ways than one that would inspire what would become two copywritten or patented sounds that originated on radio. Now you may think, well, there's a lot of copywritten sounds, they're known as songs, but these are just sounds in particular. The other copywritten sound was heard for the first time this Tuesday, November 29th, back in 1929. And I'm sure you've heard that sound before. It was the NBC chimes. For quite some time, during the network's early days, it was actually split into two networks, the NBC Blue and NBC Red, and a seven-note chime was used to distinguish the difference between the two networks. As time went on, a problem started to develop, and that was with the local affiliate stations not being exactly sure what time to insert their local content, and NBC decided to revamp the chimes and use that as the signal. So to solve this problem, they got an NBC announcer, an AT&T engineer, and a conductor from the NBC orchestra, Ernest LaProde. And together, they took about a year to shave down that original seven-note composition to the major-keyed three notes we know today, G, E, and C. Now, depending on the length of any given show, the chimes would ring at 29 minutes and 30 seconds past the hour, or 59 minutes and 30 seconds past the hour. And it was in that remaining 30 seconds that stations could insert their own content. At first, the task of physically playing the chimes was left to the announcer. But as NBC executives tuned in, they started to hear the chimes being played a little too fast or even out of sequence. That led to the invention of the NBC chime machine, and that was constructed by the same man who built the first electric organ, Captain Richard H. Ranger. It was rigged to the network in such a way that even if a show was running late on the air, the chime machine would override anything being played to play the signature notes. This is really apparent when you hear any NBC comedies from radio's golden age, because the writers of the show couldn't exactly time out perfectly the audience laughter, so often they would run late and be cut off with the NBC chimes. In 1950, technically the chimes were patented as a registered service mark, the first of only two sounds to receive that copywritten distinction. And the last time the chime machine was used was in 1976, 2 years after the second copywritten sound was filed for by director Hyman Brown of Inner Sanctum for his radio drama revival show, the CBS Radio Mystery Theater, and the sound was that creaking door. Differed from the Inner Sanctum one, airing about 30 years later in 1974. And coming up on Tune to Yesterday this Wednesday, November 30th, it's Westerns at 10 o'clock. You'll hear Fort Laramie and the Cisco Kid from 1948, and three different shows we normally just broadcast two. In an hour of horror, you'll hear Tales of the Supernatural from 1950, Sleep No More, and The Hermit's Cave. This Thursday night, it's Mystery from Suspense from 1960, then Mr. Keen, Tracer of Lost Persons. An hour of sci-fi will close out Thursday night from Lights Out and the CBS Radio Workshop with their strange story, Report on the Weans.
But don't you realize that this human voice speaking to us from 6,000 years ago has uttered the sound of every letter symbol in all the glyphs and scrolls we have discovered? We know now, thanks to the great deductive scholarship of Sra Han Shui, that these people who so often inscribed their scrolls with the letters U, S, A, referred to themselves as Weans.
You can hear these shows Wednesday night, November 30th, and Thursday night, December 1st, from 10 to midnight on the air on Tune to Yesterday or with our live stream at WRVO.org. Now, I normally don't talk about the private lives of celebrities or television of days gone by too much, but I feel like this is worth it. This Wednesday, November 30th, marks the wedding anniversary of comedian Lucille Ball and bandleader Desi Arnaz, who tied the knot in 1940, which led to one of the most successful partnerships on television in history that also actually had a glance at radio. For almost 10 years, their I Love Lucy show was one of the top comedy programs on TV, from its first broadcast in October of 1951 to its last incarnation on the air in the Lucy Desi Comedy Hour in 1960. The character that Lucille Ball played on TV was actually sort of based on one she played on radio in the show My Favorite Husband, and listening to those programs certainly reveals the roots of her on-screen character of a good-intentioned wife who was always trying to cover up a mistake or plotting to get something from her spouse, and the situation spiraling hilariously out of hand. I Love Lucy wasn't only popular, but it actually set several standards of how future TV sitcoms would produce their shows. When Lucy and Desi broke into TV, they set a foundation for women's roles on the medium, and in some ways in all of show business, with Ball running their production company, Desi Lou, and by playing a strong lead character, up to that point not unheard of, but not exactly common. And even Desi Arnaz made a strong point for minorities on television, and also innovated a new filming technique, which involved the use of three cameras rather than just one, and other innovations that made the show so popular, and even well-preserved to this day. And what else is preserved is a audition recording for a potential radio run of I Love Lucy. It was thought at the time, when it was produced in February of 1952, that the show was so popular it could extend its reach by repurposing the audio from the television show with Desi narrating between scenes, trying to extend their reach to a country where many people still actually didn't own a television. So if you've seen an episode of this show before, use your theater of the mind to bring those characters back for this moment from the radio audition.
Hello, I'm Rick Ricardo, and I'm the guy who loves Lucy. The whole thing started 10 years ago. I had just come to this country from Cuba, and I didn't know much about your customs. The first girl I had a date with was Lucy. It was a romantic night. And after all, I had a reputation to live up to as a Latin lover, so I kissed her goodnight. It was right then that she told me that under the Constitution of the United States, if a man kisses a girl, he has to marry her. And I found out she tricked me. I didn't care. Because after all, if I hadn't married her, I would have married someone else. And Lucy's just like any other American girl, who is pretty, charming, witty, and partly insane. She's always doing such crazy things. Take the other night, for instance. I came home at midnight from the Tropicana. That's the nightclub where I work. Now, some wives would be fast asleep in bed, but not Lucy. She invited our landlord, Fred Merce, and his wife, Ethel, who live on the floor below us, to come over for a little jam session. So naturally, being something of a singer myself, I joined in.
A little. That's what the world needs more of.
You're right.
Oh, it's so wonderful to have landlords like you two. What a break for us to have tenants like you two.
Well, okay, okay, sweet Sue.
Yeah, let's go.
Look at this place, Lucy. You've taken such good care of it, we could rent it tomorrow and not have to change a thing.
Okay, okay, sweet Sue.
Yeah. You know why, Ethel? It was in such wonderful condition when we moved in.
Well, all right, guys. Now, sweet Sue. Ta-da-da-da-da-da.
You're the nicest tenant I ever had. And you're certainly the nicest landlady I've ever had.
Man, this is the most sickening conversation I've ever heard.
You're so right.
Oh, you two have no sentiment. I move that we dedicate the next number to our wonderful friendship.
All right, right. Here we go.
Da 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 da.
Every
day,
every
week, every
week.
The audition for radio recording of I Love Lucy from February of 1952. The reason I stopped the show there, I mean, there was more hilarious parts, but I hope that you kind of noticed the laughing during the singing, which actually wasn't really that funny, but it was probably something on screen, and probably why the repurposed TV audio really didn't work on radio. But this Friday, December 2nd, at 10 o'clock on Tune to Yesterday, we have an hour of sitcoms that work very well on the air. The first, a show with another hilarious female lead. It's Eve Arden as our Miss Brooks. Then a broadcast of The Aldrich Family from 1948. We have an hour of horror after that with Dark Fantasy and The Mysterious Traveler. Then the Saturday night, it's comedy at 10 o'clock from Fibber McGee and Molly. The Academy Award Theater brings us, I have to say, one of my favorite comedy dramas from the stage to radio, and one of the first radio shows I ever heard, actually, the Academy Award Theater's adaptation of The Front Page from 1946.
You dirty double-crossing rat, you don't do anything.
Listen to him! Listen! Listen, Walters! No, I ain't going to cover the hanging. I wouldn't cover Washington crossing the Delaware if he did it all over again. Never mind the hair oil. Won't do me any good this time. Because I'm going to New York. Oh, I didn't tell you that, did I? And if you know what's good for you, you'll stay west of Gary, Indiana. Because a Johnson never forgets. And that voice is known as what is telling off the managing editor.
Hey, why'd you quit, Hildy?
I'm getting married. See these railroad tickets 3 to New York tonight.
Tonight?
What do you mean, 3?
Me and my girl and her darling Ma.
He's in love, Tootsie Wootsie.
Does Burns know you're getting married?
Does he know? He shook hands like a pal, offered to throw me a farewell dinner.
Oh, that's his favorite joke, farewell dinner.
Sure, he poisons people at him.
At 11 o'clock this Saturday night on Tune to Yesterday, it's Mystery from The Adventures of Nero Wolfe. Then The New Adventures of Sherlock Holmes, a Basil Rathbone and Nigel Bruce episode from 1945. You can hear these shows this Friday, December 2nd, and this Saturday, December 3rd, from 10 to midnight on Tune to Yesterday. So, by the way, in researching this podcast for the week, the voice of the Sonovox has actually tied all of today's topics together, from the voice box itself to the anniversary of the NBC chimes, and in a believe-it-or-not moment, I Love Lucy. In 1939, Lucille Ball made one of her earliest film appearances, starring in a newsreel that demonstrated the Sonovox. So a voice innovation tied it all together this week, but it's really the voices that tie everything together every week on Tune to Yesterday and now with the TTY Dialer podcast. And if you have a minute or two, I'd like to know what you think of the podcast. If you're enjoying it, listening to it regularly or occasionally, any comments or questions you might have, just take a couple of minutes, send me an email to mark@wrvo.org. That's Mark with a K at wrvo.org. And that's going to wrap it up for this week of the TTY Dialer. We have Christmas coming up in more ways than one, including our broadcast schedule. I'll talk about that a little bit next week. In the meantime, listen in to Tune to Yesterday every weeknight from 10 to midnight. You can also get 2 hours of old-time radio on our online stream on WRVO2 from 8 to 10 and podcasts of this and the show itself at WRVO.org. Thanks a lot for listening.